Good Monday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder if you've ever followed someone into something you had strong cautions about, like following someone into a deep cave, or trying to climb a cliff tethered to a seasoned rock climber, or walking on a winding path in a thick forest at night and only the person at the head of the line has a small light, or maybe going with someone to a city you've never visited before. Remember how you felt? The butterflies in your stomach, your mouth dry, your heart beating rapidly? Come with me. Let's follow Peter on such a journey in Acts chapter 10. We left Peter yesterday wide awake at night, wondering about the three visitors sleeping in the next room, and even more wondering about what the future would bring. Daybreak finally came, and I imagine they started on their journey very early. A Roman soldier, two servants of centurion Cornelius, Peter, and two or three Christ followers from Joppa, all hiking along the dusty road from Joppa north to Caesarea. It was a trip of about 30 miles or more. Luke writes, the following day they arrived in Caesarea. I don't think any of us can imagine what Peter was thinking the closer they got to Caesarea. As far as we know, this would have been his first visit to this Roman garrison city, and perhaps one of his first impressions would be overwhelming presence of Roman military everywhere, including the military checkpoints on the road as they neared Caesarea. Luke writes, Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at Peter's feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, Peter said. I am only a man myself. Acts chapter 10, verse 24 to 26. Now ponder that scene, my friends. A Roman military officer's home was probably large, maybe even several houses for servants and other family members. I assume Roman soldiers stood guard out front as Peter and his troop approached. But as Peter looks around, he sees lots of people. The entire courtyard is filled with people. What's going on here? And then imagine Peter's shock as centurion Cornelius approaches, and rather than greeting Peter from a distance with a wave or even approaching for a handshake, Cornelius, the Roman military officer, falls to the floor in humility before Peter, the Galilean fisherman, friend of Jesus. I imagine Peter is stunned. Never would he have expected this from a Roman military officer. Luke continues, talking with Cornelius, Peter went inside the house and found a large gathering of people. Peter said to them, you are well aware it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or even visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask, why have you sent for me? Now think about this a moment, friends. Peter is probably in his 30s or maybe even his 40s, and all his life he has tried to live as a good Jewish man. The people in his own hometown were almost all Jews. His fishing business partner were all Jews. He sold his fish only in Jewish markets. He attended synagogue faithfully each Shabbat, but only with Jews. Likely, Peter had never stepped foot into the home of a Gentile, and here he was in Caesarea, surrounded by Gentiles, including some Roman soldiers, experiencing such a stretching of his soul that we can't imagine. Cornelius, the Roman military officer, responded to Peter. 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is the guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. Pause here a moment. When you read about angels or men in shining clothes appearing and speaking to people, giving them messages from God, what do you think? Is that just myths or fairy tales or old Bible fables? Is it something that evidently happened centuries ago but surely doesn't happen in our modern world? Who are these angelic visitors? How do they sometimes call people by name without any introduction? How do they speak the same language of the people they visit? Have you ever had such a visitor? What do you think about the frequency with which we read of angels in these months following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus? As you and I stand in this scene, may I ask you, where would you prefer to stand? In the far back corner, unseen and easily able to make a quick escape if you need to? Right in the middle of the thick, shoulder-to-shoulder crowd? up close to Peter and Cornelius, close enough to see the look in their eyes and not miss a word they say. Listen, Cornelius isn't finished speaking yet. So I sent for you, Peter, immediately, and it was good of you to come to my home. Now we're all here in the presence of God, ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Acts 10:33. All eyes turn to Peter. Look at him. His eyes are moving from one side of the gathering to another, then to Cornelius, then to the brothers who had accompanied him from Joppa. What should he say? In the past, he'd been arrested and beaten for talking about the risen Jesus. Should he risk it here? I imagine Peter prayed quietly, took several deep breaths, and finally spoke, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide him. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. What? Peter, a Jewish man, declaring that in God's eyes all people are equal? But no, that is not what Peter had believed his entire life. Jewish people were far more important to God than any other people. God had said so himself when he rescued the Jewish slaves from Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai to tell them, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the peoples you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Exodus 19:5 and 6. But Peter was a changed man, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter was understanding Jesus had come to earth as God's messenger for all people, to give his life on the cross as the atonement sacrifice for all people of all time. Jesus had led Peter and the other disciples into Samaria, and they spent several days there because Samaritans are important to God. John chapter 4. Jesus had healed lepers when everyone else ran the other way because the untouchables are important to God. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. So Peter spoke the story of Jesus as he had experienced it with Jesus. By the way, did you notice the word nation in Acts 10:35? May I show you something? In the language Luke wrote this book of Acts, he used the word ethnos here, which is translated into English as nation. When you think of nation, what comes to your mind? A particular country, a flag, currency, passports, borders, governments. Those are all words which describe nation as a geographical, political identity. That's not what Peter was saying here. He was not talking about places like Germany or Italy or Russia or Mexico or Japan. The word ethnos is people group. In India, for instance, there are more than 600 ethnos, people groups, all belonging to one nation. They're distinctive by their native language or their customs or traditions or heritage. So here, Peter is talking about all peoples of the world who fear God and do what is right in his sight. And then Peter turned very personal as he spoke as if he had personally experienced with Jesus. We are witnesses of everything Jesus did in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen by many. He was not seen by everyone, but by witnesses whom God had chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He, Jesus, commanded us to proclaim his truth to all the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name, Jesus. Look, do you see how Peter grows stronger and stronger, bolder and bolder with each breath as he proclaims Jesus? His eyes are penetrating, declaring his absolute confidence in the words he speaks. He's expecting any moment guards will push through the crowd as they've done before, grab him and pull him out of this place, shouting at him to be quiet and taking him to stand in judgment and receive his punishment. But look, the Roman soldiers stand attentive, listening to every word, their eyes fixed on Peter. Cornelius' eyes have not moved from Peter's face since Peter began speaking. There is no opposition in this place, only excitement and strong affirmation and appreciation for all that Peter says. And as the people realize this Peter was an eyewitness to it all, they are amazed and envious. Oh, how they wish they had met Jesus or even just once been in the crowds as Jesus spoke and cast out demons and healed the sick. Applause is breaking out now through the crowd. They're so excited with what they're hearing from Peter. And then worship as people are praising God and thanking him for all he has done. People begin praying out loud, and then Peter is gripped with astonishment. He hears some of these Gentiles speaking his native dialect, Aramaic. How could that be? Luke describes it this way. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard his message. The Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on these Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Acts 10:44-46. This very same thing had happened in Jerusalem at the Pentecost festival as the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and others who were praising God 10 days after Jesus had ascended from them back to heaven. This had also happened in Samaria as Samaritans had trusted in Jesus when Peter and John visited them and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, this same miracle was happening in Caesarea, but this time among Gentiles as they trusted in and praised Jesus. This is what Peter had meant when he said, all people. Yes, God intends for all people everywhere to know Jesus and experience the Holy Spirit of God anointing and transforming them into God's people everywhere. So let's pause right here and just bask in the wonder of this remarkable happening. This is Caesarea, my friends, a Gentile city, a Roman garrison city, a Roman military officer and his command and his family, and Peter the fisherman apostle, all experiencing a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, the singing, the praising God, the celebration. Jesus has opened the kingdom of God to Gentiles. We'll see what happens next tomorrow. But for today, just join the celebration. Give God great glory. Here's a song to help us celebrate the greatness of Jesus. The link is in your notes.